I'm Neil White in Nottingham.
And I'm Ian Woods in London. And this is the Golf Pilgrim Podcast, where in every episode we review the very best golf courses.
Except in this one, we won't. This one is where we tell you a bit about who we are, why we're doing this, and why we think we're qualified to do it.
Think of it like the pilot episode of a sitcom. You can still get into the series even if you don't know the origin story of the characters, but it kind of helps to explain the background.
So, if you're listening to this after you've already listened to one of our review episodes, we hope you enjoyed it and you want to know more.
And if you haven't heard any of the others yet, hopefully this will whet your appetite. This is a podcast about places to play. It's about the top courses in the world, not about the top players. We watch golf on TV just like you do, but frankly, we're bored hearing about LIV and who's defected from the PGA Tour. And let's face it, there are lots of podcasts out there dealing with the professional game. This one is different.
We're regular club golfers, like you. Not even low handicappers. But we are lucky enough to have played on lots of very special courses. And we want to share our reviews, our tips, and help you choose your next great day out.
Now, most of the time, it's Neil who'll be doing the hard work, slogging his way around 18 holes of pristine greens and fairways, and I'll simply be asking him for his views. That's because he's no longer working. He has all the time in the world, and, crucially, he's a man on a mission.
I am indeed. Nearly 4 years ago, I set myself a challenge. I wanted to play the top 100 courses in England, and then went on to GB and Ireland, and then decided continental Europe would be a good idea, and then looked at the rest of the world. As of March 2024, I'm up to 90 in England, 71 in GB and Ireland, 13 in continental Europe, and 27 from the world list. People seem to like my reviews on the golfpilgrim.com website and on social media. I'm now an ambassador for booking review site leadingcourses.com and an official rater for National Club Golfer.
Okay, so that's your credentials, but what is the top 100? Where do you find the top 100 courses in all of these different places?
So lots of different top 100s exist, but I work on the one on top100golfcourses.com, which it probably has a little more depth than most, and goes right down to counties in England, does an England list. It also goes through every country in Europe and has a continental Europe list, and you can find every state in America and so on and so on. But I decided to go for the world list and the GB and Ireland list as well.
But isn't it always changing? Isn't there sort of promotion and relegation?
There is, and I started in 2020, and I'm sticking to those lists so far. But, as you will learn over the next few months, I like to dip into the current lists as well, which are updated every couple of years, and so you'll hear a few of those courses too.
Now, you've set yourself a really overly ambitious target, some might think, but they don't know you, do they? You're a bit of a nerd, and you have form for this kind of obsessive behaviour, don't you?
Well, as one of my mates, you'll know that only too well. It started with rosettes when I was a kid watching football, our great team, Coventry City. And I don't know why I lighted upon the idea that every time we went to a game, I would decide to buy a rosette. Of course, they don't exist nowadays, of the opposing team. I still have all the rosettes from the teams in the 1970 World Cup, would you believe? Subutio teams I moved on to next. And rather than just like any other child, just having two teams who play against each other, I wanted to have as many teams as possible. And I think we ended up with about 40. And then it progressed to ticking off football grounds. So, as said, we watch Coventry City, and I think I've watched Coventry play at 85 grounds now that currently exist. So there's lots of grounds that don't exist anymore. The ones that have been changed, for example, Main Road at Manchester and various others.
And I first got involved in seeing your nerdish behaviour up close when you moved on to the Good Beer Guide, and we had to do all the strange pubs on the way to football grounds, making major detours as we went, yeah?
Oh, yeah, we'd be going past about seven different pubs before we got to one that I could tick off, and then we'd roll out about five different halves so we could drink those before the game and tick off the beers as well. The coup de grace in all of that was in 2011 when I decided that my Everest would be watching every film released in a calendar year in the UK. I have never managed it yet, although I've been still trying. 1 year in 2012, I actually watched 661. So you can see sort of where this is going. Some might say obsessive, some might say nerd. I like to think completist is who I am.
Well, it's a lot of golf. So why interrupt all of this playing golf and make a podcast about it? Well, it's because we don't think anyone else is doing a podcast like that, and because we're building on the database of reviews that Neil's already written for his website, which is called thegolfpilgrim.com.
Yeah, we'll revisit some of those in future podcasts, as well as talk about the courses that we're playing in the months ahead. We'll focus on what makes a club special. Is it welcoming? Is it the course in great condition? Is it great value? Is it too tough for average golfers? What are the signature holes? How good is the bacon roll in the clubhouse or the halfway hut? Is it a must-play for your golfing bucket list? And we will have our own champagne moments. And, of course, we will have that comedy moment. Because there's always that moment in a round where you make a complete fool of yourself.
Now, most of the courses we'll talk about are open to all visitors, but some you can only play if you have connections, if you know a member, or can call in a favour.
And, of course, most of the time, it won't be cheap. Almost all courses have whacked up their prices in the past few years, but there are twilight, off-season or county card deals to be had, and so if there are, we'll let you know.
So Neil's told you about his golfing qualifications. What are mine? This won't take long. I didn't start playing golf until I was in my 30s, and I can't use that as an excuse for being crap anymore. And I started thanks to Glenn Hoddle, the England football coach, because he took his players to La Manga as a warm-up for the World Cup in France in 1998. So knowing that I was going to be spending 10 days on a Spanish golf resort, I thought I might as well have some lessons. I got the bug. I got to know La Manga. They loved all the publicity that they were getting on Sky News. I was a reporter for them. And they kept on inviting me back to play in various tournaments. So I got to play with lots of celebrities and sportsmen and so forth. So that was great. And it really made me want to get better at golf. Except I didn't. And the lowest handicap I've managed in 30 years is 16. Pathetic, I know.
Well, you're playing quite well now, though. And I reckon it's going to get lower than 16. But I never thought it would be. When you say you start in your 30s, I remember you starting when you were about 18 or 19 at the local pitch and putt in Coventry.
I swung one club.
It was the most hilarious moment. So we're at the first tee of the Owsley Park pitch and putt in Coventry. It still exists. Go and have a look. And I think you swung it about five times before you connected with the ball, didn't you?
Yeah, so that wasn't very successful, which is probably why I didn't try it again for a number of years afterwards. But as Neil alluded to, we both go back a long way. We both started our journalism careers in Coventry in the early 80s. I've worked for the BBC, for Sky, and currently for ITV. And much of that time, I've been doing it as a sports reporter. And because of that, I get lots of invites to play golf, often with some well-known people. So we will probably sprinkle some of those anecdotes in like fairy dust during the course of our reviews.
And we're both members of the Press Golfing Society, which has been around for more than 100 years, and we get to play some pretty famous tracks with those too.
I'm a member at a club called Fulwell, which is a lovely suburban parkland course in southwest London. My favourite course, though, has to be Royal Portrush, and not just because I'm Northern Irish.
And we've got a good story to tell about Portrush, haven't we? I played there myself about three or four times, thanks to you. Should we save it for a review of the course, or should we tell folk now?
Well, we've got lots of stories about Portrush, so we will do that when we review it. But let's do one. The fifth hole at Portrush White Rocks is the most spectacular in the course, I think. The green's perched right on the edge of dunes with a steep drop to the busy beach below. So we've reached the green, we're putting out, and a ball suddenly arrives from nowhere.
And it really was as if it was from nowhere. We were looking around. It was a terribly windy day. And we were thinking, what's the ball coming off the sea or wherever? No, it actually appeared from the tee. Who the dickens could have hit it that far? Well, the bloke who came along in his buggy to apologise soon emerged to be a professional golfer, didn't he? It was Darren Clark. And Clark, fortunately, he apologised, and then we got a bit of a selfie with him, didn't we? And sadly, he then ended up watching the rest of my round, which was absolutely dreadful.
Yeah, because it was slow play, he was always waiting on the tee as we were teeing off. And I rose to the challenge, but you rather crumbled under it, unfortunately, didn't you?
Well, I've had good games at Portrush since, though. We'll talk about them another time.
We will. Anyway, you tell us about the clubs that you're a member of.
Yes, I'm a member of two clubs, Chilwell Manor near my home in Nottingham, and in 2023 I joined Silliton Solway, a fabulous but rather remote club in Cumbria, which is currently number 18 in England's top 100 and 46 in GB and Ireland.
But enough about us. You want to know about the courses. So scroll down the list of episodes and choose those that appeal. That list will grow and grow, so do come back regularly.
We promise not to waffle. We'll be playing Ready Golf, and most episodes will be half an hour or less. So listen in the car or at home or while walking the dog, but maybe not while playing around with your mates.
Bit antisocial, that. Yeah, we also plan to interview people who we bump into at courses to get their comments, so it's not just us offering our opinions. And you might want to take a look at Neil's website for his golf reviews, or the website of the course we are reviewing, because of course the pictures of the holes will help illustrate exactly what we're talking about.
Yes, I love taking photographs, so please do look at thegolfpilgrim.com and social media channels. And please do tell us what you like or don't like, suggest changes, suggest courses we should visit, and you can contact us through thegolfpilgrim.com.
We look forward to doing lots of work on your behalf in the months ahead. So see you on the next tee.
Bye-bye.